Chicago's I mean Canto, chapter 12. Mohini Murti bewilders Lord Shiva. Text 31. As if harassed by an enemy in the form of lusty desires, Lord Shiva followed the path of Lord Vishnu, who acts very wonderfully and who had taken the form of Mohini. Purport. Lord Shiva cannot be victimized by Maya. Therefore, it is to be understood that Lord Shiva was being thus harassed by Lord Vishnu's internal potency. Lord Vishnu can perform many wonderful activities through his various potencies. Parashvatraktir vividhaiva shunyate sabhavakigyana balakriyacha. The Supreme Lord has various potencies by which he can act very efficiently. To do anything expertly, he doesn't even need to contemplate. Since Lord Shiva was being harassed by the woman, it is to be understood that this was being done not by a woman, but by Lord Vishnu himself. Om Agana Tirmanandasya Gananjana Chalapaya Chakshad Vilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sanibo Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Shiva was very curious. And it's kind of a joke what's going on between Lord Shiva and Supreme Personality of Godhead. That there is humor in relationships between the complete whole and his parts and parcels. Why not? You see humor in this temporary, afflicted material world. The only reason why the humor is there in such a place is because it originates in Krishna, in Krishna's relationships with his devotees. Often people are afraid of developing knowledge of the Supreme Absolute Truth because they have this idea of a vengeful Supreme Personality Godhead who is always smashing and pulverizing sinners. And people can relate to that, although there's no doubt they're performing such horrible bad karma activities. Nevertheless, they can't relate to a Supreme Absolute Truth that's always smashing the sinners. The picture in the mind is sinners in the hand of an angry God. And you're always supposed to tremble. Actually, it is simply the material potency of the Supreme Absolute Truth that harasses living entities who want to see themselves as separate from Krishna and live their life in that way. It is not that Krishna himself is smashing his rebellious parts and parcels. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. He's not directly involved in the penal colony. He's not directly involved in prison affairs. Krishna is simply enjoying. That's all he does directly, is enjoy. This is why we're so envious. His flute playing, as we often explain, announces that his only activity is pastime, lila, in direct enjoyment. So how is it that jivas, conditioned souls, are suffering, are afflicted in the material world? It's because they have chosen to be under the influence of the material energy. And they get the reactions. As Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Samaham Sarva Bhuteshu, I am equal to all living entities. I don't especially care for anyone. I don't harass anyone. But if you do things my way, you're in a special category. This is not Krishna being partial, because he gives everyone a chance to be in that special category. In the days when there were intact families, you could say that people would treat their own family members with more attention than they would others. So Krishna gives everyone a chance to join his family. It's known as the Achyuta Gotra, the Gotra, or family dynasty of the infallible. The invitation's open. Krishna's family is not joined through biological methods. It's joined by aligning yourself with Krishna's instructions and seeking to please Krishna. There's no question of Krishna favoring one group over another. When everyone has a chance to join Krishna's family, those who are demoniac, they often accuse the Supreme Absolute Truth of being partial. Not the small demons of today, but the superstar demons like you find in Bhagavatam, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. They actually acknowledge the existence of Vishnu. They weren't like the small-time atheistic demoniac persons of today. Hiranyakashipu, he didn't deny that there's Vishnu. He just said, we're not doing what he says. We're doing our own thing. And he was so angry that Vishnu has killed my brother Hiranyaksha. So naturally I must take revenge. When I chop off the head of Vishnu and his blood flows, that'll please my younger brother, my deceased younger brother, because my younger brother Hiranyaksha was so fond of drinking blood. So, such superstar demoniac persons described in Srimad Bhagavatam, they think that there's Vishnu, but he's easily manipulated, and that's why the demigods get so many favors. They know how to manipulate Vishnu, who's like a fickle child. Offer the child some sweets, and the child does whatever you want. You know, the standard cliche about kidnappers. When they want to kidnap a child, they just hold out their hand with some candy in it. And the child takes the candy, then the kidnapper throws the child in the car and drives away. It's the standard cliche. So, the superstar demons, they think Vishnu is like that. Vishnu is popular amongst the demigods because they manipulate it. But we are not like that. We are independent. We are self-sufficient. We do our own thing. We're real persons. We're complete individuals. We don't kowtow to anyone. Really? What did the Supreme Personality have to show them? Just let there be a form of a beautiful woman, and any materialistic person will surrender. So on the one hand, they're declaring that we will not follow Vishnu. We have better things to do. We have our own autonomy, our individuality. We're not clones. We're not robots. We are the real thing, full-fledged living entities. We're not like those silly demigods who always, because they're weak, they have to offer Vishnu some sweets. No, we are self-sufficient, independent. Really? Mohini Murti showed these superstar demons what they're really made of. Mm-hmm. They had actually, as you know, captured the nectar of immortality. And they were trying to figure out how to divide it amongst themselves. Because, you know, there's no honor amongst thieves. It's like thieves steal something, and then they take it back to their hideout and say, let's divide it fairly. If you're a thief, you're a thief. You can't be trusted. So even though the superstar demons, you say superstar demons because they're far beyond the capacities of people today, they had captured the pot of nectar. But they couldn't agree who should drink first. Naturally, they couldn't agree. Because each one is thinking, I am the best. I am the most powerful. I am the most wonderful. That's what material existence does to you. It makes you so hung up on yourself. And you agonize. Why doesn't anyone recognize my glories? Why doesn't anyone listen to me? If people would simply understand my potencies, the world would be a much better place. The world would be in much better shape than it is now if people would simply take me more seriously. So, this attitude is the opposite of the devotional attitude, the bhakti attitude. The bhakti attitude is not one of no self-esteem, as psychologists say today. The bhakti attitude is one of full esteem in Krishna. Krishna, he is rightfully full of self-esteem. And our self-esteem is simply based on serving Krishna. We are proud of Krishna. Our pride is in Krishna. So it's not that Vaishnavas are spineless and always groveling and can't get anything done because they're saying, oh, we are so weak, we are so fallen, we can't do anything. The Vaishnava always sees himself, herself, in relation to Krishna. When we see ourselves as separate from Krishna, yes, we are useless. But seeing ourselves in relationship to Krishna, and that relationship is based on service, then we have value. Krishna adds the value to everything, as you've heard many times. Krishna is the Supreme One. You put that Supreme One in front of so many zeros, and you have value. You may have a string of 32 zeros. Take away the Supreme One in front of them all, and you have, what's the use? No matter if it's one zero or 32 zeros. So we define our value in terms of Krishna. That means we define our value in terms of service to Krishna. By rendering service to Krishna, we become valuable in spite of our valueless condition. So these classic demons, superstar demons, they couldn't agree how to divide the nectar. And actually, they didn't deserve the nectar. They didn't have the punya, the pious activities, the good karma that would qualify them to actually taste the nectar, which would prolong their life. You can't be immortal in the material world, but this nectar would have prolonged the life vastly. Persons today are very eager to live longer, although they don't know what is the purpose of life or what they should be doing. I think it's a great success if they live longer. What does the Bhagavatam say in the second canto? What is the value of a prolonged life wasted by years of inexperience in this world? Better a short life. Better a few moments, a short life in bhakti, because then you can achieve the highest destination. The example given by Shukadeva Goswami, King Kanvanga, he did service on behalf of the demigods, and they gave him a benediction, and he said, I simply would like to know when I'm going to die, when will be my last moment. An intelligent person is concerned about that. I want to make sure that my consciousness is proper, because any moment may be my last in this body. So King Kadanga asked, let the benediction be so that I can hear from you when I will die. And the demigod said, it's kind of funny that you ask that, because actually your life's going to end in a few moments. So King Kadanga immediately left the heavenly planets and came back to Earth, because he knew the heavenly planets so sensuous, so much material happiness, better come back down to Earth. And he immediately surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and achieved the perfection of life. So no question of immortality in the material world. Yet these demons wanted to taste the nectar, to prolong their life, make it longer. Longer so there can be more sinful activity. In Kali Yuga, sinful activity means illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling. As you no doubt heard, at the time of your initiation, if you stop those four activities, then you have destroyed the pillars of sinful life. The roof comes tumbling down by knocking out those four pillars. But these superstar demons, these classic demons, they wanted to live longer and enjoy sinful activity. So therefore, to save the situation, because the nectar belonged to the demigods, not to these demons, to save the situation, Krishna knew exactly what to do. He appeared as Mohini Murti, the most beautiful woman. And what was the reaction of the demons? Naturally, they were just knocked off their feet. Wow! We've got the nectar, and then there's this woman too. And they began to address her. But you notice, even these classic demons had some class. They had some remnants of proper behavior. They asked the girl who was loitering here and there, excuse me, but obviously you're not married by the way you are just loitering here and there. That shows the demons had some decorum. They had, you know, you won't find that today. So they assume she's just walking freely here and there where men are around. She must be available. But just to make sure, they said that. Obviously, we just want some clarification here. You know, we're demons, and you're a beautiful woman wandering here and there. You know what that's all about, right? And they were so captivated by her beauty. After all, she's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the woman incarnation. She'll be very popular in New Zealand, Mohini Murti. You know, and is that sign still there when you leave the airport? Welcome to New Zealand, the Woman's Republic. Yeah, the big sign over the road as you leave the airport. Welcome to the Woman's Republic of New Zealand. So, Mohini Murthy. Do you think, first of all, the demons were already arguing over the nectar? Now, what even is going to happen when in walks the most beautiful woman? They're going to argue about her, too. So each demon began to compete. Come to me, come to me. I'm the greatest. I'm the most powerful. You belong to me. And others, no, no, no. Don't look at him. I am the one. So this way, all the demons began arguing. They've argued over who gets the nectar. Now they're arguing over who gets the girl. This is material life. Your loss is my gain. So, they decided, okay, there's one thing we can agree on. We can't decide who should get the nectar first. But here's a beautiful girl. Let her decide. They're rebelling against the Supreme Personality God. They're proud of their separateness. And yet, let her decide. Let her distribute the nectar. We shall accept whatever decision you make. Each demon was thinking, if we give her the power of decision, then she'll be inclined to us. Each individual was thinking like that. We give you the power to decide, and then you'll look at me and you'll want me. So they passed over all the power to Mohini Murthy. You decide how the nectar is distributed. Anyone who looks so good like you can do no wrong. And Mohini Murthy even warned them, are you sure you want to trust me? Are you sure you want to put your complete faith in the hands of a beautiful woman? Are you really sure? Yes, yes, we trust you completely. Let what happens, happens, oh beauty queen. They didn't even listen to Mohini Murthy telling them the truth. She's telling them, I'm going to cheat you. So, she began distributing the nectar. And indeed, the demons noticed that it's just the distribution's not happening right. She's actually not giving us. But they were afraid to say something. If we criticize her, we'll lose our chances with her. This is classic example of the ladies would say the male ego. How the men tie themselves in a knot in the presence of female allurement. So that some of the demons were sharp enough to see that, you know, she's cheating them, but they were afraid to say something. If we dare to criticize her, my chances are down the drain. And the whole purpose of materialistic life is to enjoy the senses. So they'll have missed the ultimate goal of life, they were afraid. So they didn't say anything. One devotee recently sent me a science article, research done, which showed that, we'll talk about it more in the future, but this research showed that the cognitive powers, the intellectual powers of men are affected whenever a woman is around. But it doesn't work that way for women. You bring a man around a woman, her cognitive power is not affected. But you bring a woman around a man, and his ability to actually calculate and think isn't there. The scientific test. They did the test by giving the men some calculation to do without any woman around. And then they would give the man a calculation again and tell him, there's a woman watching you. And the guy's brain would just get all foggy. He makes so many mistakes. So this is a scientific experiment done with all kinds of controls, and it's an authorized experiment. Yet when they did it to women, when the women were doing their calculation, by the way, there's a man watching you through that window right there. None of the women were affected. So, yes, the mighty men have a weakness. And Mohini Murthy is going to exploit that weakness amongst these classic demons. She's going to exploit their lack of sense control and their pride in themselves and their uncontrolled senses. She took complete advantage. She stole the nectar, gave it back to the demigods, who deserved it by their pious activities and their demigodly lifestyle. Lord Shiva heard about this, and his curiosity was so aroused. The supreme absolute truth in the woman incarnation. I have to see that. So he and his wife, Uma, and their ghostly associates all decided to seek out the Supreme Personality of Godhead and make a presentation. We'd like to see Mohini Murthy. Lord Shiva introduced himself after greeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead was very appreciative of Lord Shiva and showed affection in greeting. And so Lord Shiva said, I've seen so many avatars. I've seen them all, actually. But this woman incarnation, so interesting, I haven't seen that one. You see, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has Leela avatars. A Leela avatar is an incarnation, an appearance of the Supreme Absolute Truth that displays inconceivable pastimes which are independent. In Kali Yuga, we were explaining a few nights ago, in Kali Yuga there's no Leela avatar. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead does come as a special avatar. We happen to be in the particular Kali Yuga in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is not a Leela avatar. He is Krishna with a different purpose. Leela avatars have their independent, inconceivable pastimes, which give pleasure to the devotees. And they are involved generally with puritranaya sadhanam vanashaya shudraskritam, annihilating the miscreants and delivering the devotees. But there's a special appearance of the Lord in this special Kali Yuga. Once in every day of Brahma, the original personality of God, Sri Krishna, appears. And similarly, in the Kali Yuga after that appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Kama Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we happen to be in that special Kali Yuga in which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. And he's known as Chala Avatar, hidden incarnation, because he's not a little avatar, he doesn't have any purpose like the other appearances of the Supreme Lord do. He's simply Krishna trying to understand his dearest devotee and how his dearest devotee relishes the loving exchanges with him. Therefore, it is said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, who has the color of the blackish rain cloud, but he's been overwhelmed by the emotions of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, he's golden. Gaurahari, Gauranga. He's become golden because he's taken on the emotions of Srimati Radharani in order to sample what it's like to love Krishna. Krishna wants to know, what's it like to love me? What's it like to be a devotee? What's it like to feel separation from me? I'll come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is the special mission of the Supreme Absolute Truth in this particular Kali Yuga. So Lord Shiva said, I've seen so many avatars, but this woman incarnation, I'm very interested to see that. And of course, when you present yourself to the Supreme Absolute Truth, you offer proper prayers. In Nectar Devotion, it is stated that devotees should, in approaching the deity, should learn some prayers recited by the greatest devotees, prayers from the Shastra, and offer those to the Supreme Lord. And that way you give pleasure to Krishna because you are repeating the prayers of those who are most dear to him. In egotism, we would think that I'm me, and I got to offer my prayer. Krishna should take me as I am. That's the emphasis in this degraded age. Everything is me, me, me. If I'm going to be related to Krishna, I got to do it my way, offer my prayer. I got to be true to me. That's the mentality. Everything is about me. I was speaking to my mother a few days ago. So I was saying, all right, I'm making my yearly visit in June, so I'll be there. I'll be there, God willing. She doesn't want me to say Krishna. So I'll be there, God willing. She said, well, I know you'll be here. I said, well, how is that so? Because I'm praying every day that you're going to be here. Oh, it's very interesting religion. You know I'm going to be there in June because you are praying to God that I should be there in June, and therefore it must happen. Right. So that is a particular conception of religion. It is better than nothing. So, Lord Shiva offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And his prayers contain so much understanding of Bhagavad Dharma, the science of the Supreme Personality. He explained that actually you're everything because everything is your energy. And your energy is not different from you. So that means anywhere you turn, there's you because your energy is you, although it's also different When Krishna, dealing with his dearest devotees, the gopis, told them, why should you be upset, in other words, that there seems to be a separation between us? Actually, everything is me. All the energies are me. So therefore, you're never apart from me. But this kind of jnana did not satisfy the gopis. And later they would refer back to this. When you told us that what's the worry about you being gone when everything is your energy, that means you're always there. When you told us that, you were just doing word jugglery. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna was testing them with jnana to see if they would be satisfied with jnana as contrasted with his personal association. Testing means not wanting them to fail, but wanting their glories to be proclaimed everywhere. So, Lord Shiva was speaking this necessary jnana in this chapter, in his prayers. Everything is you, because everything is your energy. And then he made his request. I'd like to see Mohini Murti. If you could be so kind, I'd like to see. What was the reaction of Supreme Personality of Godhead? Smiling, at the same time very grave. Smiling because it's kind of a joke between Shiva and Supreme Personality of Godhead. Are you sure you want to see her? Do you know what you're asking? Your wife's right there next to you. Are you sure you want to see Mohini Murti? At the same time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was very grave because he was thinking, what kind of beautiful woman can I manifest to bewilder Shiva? Shiva's not bewildered by any material woman. He's married to Maya Devi herself. And he doesn't even give her a house. Just think. He's married to Maya Devi. And he doesn't even give her a house. And you live under a tree. That's how powerful Shiva is. Now you try that when you marry. You're just going to live under a tree. Oh, hell would break loose. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is grave. It can't be any ordinary form of a woman that bewilders Lord Shiva. He's asking me, he wants to see Mohini Murti. So, this has to be very special. Lord Shiva was eager. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead thought, I must manifest a form that impersonates a material, beautiful woman. It can't be a material woman, because the material energy doesn't bewilder Lord Shiva, but I'll take a spiritual form that resembles the way a beautiful woman acts in the material world. And that way I'll bewilder Lord Shiva, and at the same time, his position will be clarified, because no one will be able to say that he fell down for the illusory energy. Because I'm going to impersonate how the illusory energy acts. So that way I'll bewilder Lord Shiva and at the same time maintain his honor. No one will be able to criticize that Shiva fell down because of illusory energy. I will impersonate how a beautiful woman, how a Maya Devi acts. And let's see what happens to Lord Shiva. So, immediately, the Supreme Personality of Godhead disappears. And Lord Shiva's wondering, what happened? He's searching. Where? Where did he go? The Supreme Absolute Truth. Looking all of a sudden in the distance. Wow. Oh, God. He sees this stunningly beautiful woman. And she just has a very fine cloth around her, delicately held by a belt around her waist, and she's bouncing a ball. And as she bounces the ball, the various alluring parts of her anatomy shake and tremble. And Lord Shiva's just watching this. He can't believe what he's seeing. He's never seen such a beautiful woman before. And remember, he's married to Maya Devi herself. But this form he's looking at, this woman he's looking at, is just from another dimension. So she's bouncing the ball, and Lord Shiva's just watching every part of her body just sway gracefully as she's bouncing the ball. She's looking so casual and innocent, at the same time she sometimes glances slightly at Lord Shiva. As if to say, are you watching me? Are you checking me out? At the same time, she's very, you know, innocent and just slightly alluring in a way that drives men insane. Puts the men on the mental platform. Is she really noticing me, or is it my imagination? No, she's noticing me. It must be. Mohini Murthy just hit the mark right precisely to just agitate Lord Shiva's mind. So he's watching her. She's bouncing the ball with this thin garment on her, held in place by a belt. And then he couldn't believe what he saw next. The ball got a little bit away from her, and then she went to grab the ball. Simultaneously, a gust of wind came and blew off her glove. Lord Shiva went mad. He was out of it before, and now he's just... He just sees everything now. Remember, his wife is right next to him. So there she is. Now she's bouncing the ball. Her cloth had disappeared. And again, she's still looking at Lord Shiva. Are you looking at me? Do you see something? Is there something unusual going on here? So Lord Shiva's eyes are just taking in every centimeter of that form. Of course, it's the Supreme Personality of God. But the Supreme Absolute Truth is impersonating a woman of illusion. So Lord Shiva's just ogling every centimeter of the form. And he just gets so overwhelmed that he forgets his wife is right next to him. He starts racing after Mohini Murthy. And as soon as he takes off after Mohini Murthy, she starts, naturally, she starts to run too. The chase, you know, the nectar of the chase. She's running. Lord Shiva is just like a madman running after her. And then she very expertly lets Lord Shiva grab her and embrace her, and then she slips out of his grasp. That makes it even worse. He almost had her. She's gone. So in this way, we are... Let's turn it up. We are up to this point in the Bhagavatam. Being embraced by Lord Shiva, like a female elephant embraced by a male, the woman whose hair was scattered swirled like a snake. You can see that? The scattered hair swirling like a snake. O king, because Shukadeva's army is telling us to Pritchard Maharaj, this woman who had large, high hips was a woman of Yogamaya presented by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She released herself somehow or other from the fond embrace of Lord Shiva's arms and ran away. And then today's verse. As if harassed by an enemy in the form of lusty desires, Lord Shiva followed the path of Lord Vishnu, who acts very wonderfully and who had taken the form of Mohini. So we have the explanation in the purport that Lord Shiva cannot be victimized by Maya. Therefore, it is to be understood that Lord Shiva was being thus harassed by Lord Vishnu's internal potency. Lord Vishnu can perform many wonderful activities through his various potencies. So, in other words, Vishnu was having his spiritual energy act like it was material. Because he's the master of all his potencies. He can arrange for any of his potencies to act in any way he likes. Just like you offer boga to the Supreme Lord, he can change it into the spiritual energy. How it is that material ingredients become spiritualized. They become Krishna Prasad. It's because the Lord is the master of his potencies. He doesn't have to eat with his mouth. He can eat by his eyes. He can eat just by hearing the prayers devotees make offering to him. So, he's the master of his potencies, and so now he's having his spiritual energy act like it's material. He himself has taken the form through Yogamaya, his spiritual potency. He's taken the form of the most beautiful woman. So Lord Shiva is not being harassed actually by a woman. He's being harassed by Lord Vishnu himself, but Shiva asked for it. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead had warned him, are you sure you know what you want? Are you sure you know what you're asking for? So in this way, Lord Shiva became embarrassed. But then again, he's not embarrassed because he didn't fall down with illusory energy. He lost the plot. He lost it, as they say, over the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the performance of this particular Leela avatar of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Mohini Murti, the woman incarnation. So yes, you can also say that God is a woman. Actually, all of the parts and parcels of Krishna are female. There's only really one male, one Purusha. That is Supreme Personality Godhead. His energy is considered female. But in material existence, we falsely decorate ourselves with bodily designations, young, old, male, female, so on. But actually, there's only one male, one Purusha. Therefore, when we greet the deities, we sing, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Vajami. I render devotional service to Govinda Adipurusha. He's the original Purusha, the original enjoyer. Anyone else who tries to take that role of Purusha is a fake.